Okay, who needs doctors? U.S. News World Report, February 2005, rated America's most credible print news source. U.S. News World Report. Special health issue. Who needs doctors? Your future physician might not be a medical doctor. You may be better off. Do you think every medical doctor in America made sure that was in their waiting room that month? I don't think so. I think they probably went around town, bought them all up, and shredded them. Now, why would they do that? That would be an insane thing. I guess every doctor canceled their subscriptions. That's because they read the same statistics. Now, let's look at doctors themselves. In my original audio cassette tape back in 1993, I said the average medical doctor lives to be 58. I did a study. I just randomly took 200 obituaries out of the Journal of the American Medical Association, added up their ages, divided by 200, got 58. So why would you go to a group of people whose average lifespan is 58 to learn how to live to be 100? It doesn't make sense to me. They said, well, that can't be right. So they did their own study. They got 250,000 death certificates. Right? We went back to the turn of the 20th century. Wallach's group was too small. The study group was too small. So they said, Wallach lied. The average primary care physician, family doctor doesn't lie at 58 like he says. We die at 56. They were so eager to show that my statistics were wrong that they failed to realize that they showed they died 2 years earlier than I said. So I'm here to apologize for giving them too many years. So again, why would you go to a group of people whose average lifespan is 56 according to their own studies to ask for health information? Bam, you're dead. Now here's Socrates, a Brazilian international soccer star. He was a medical doctor. He was a primary care physician and a soccer star. He dies at 57 of a heart attack. I mean, he had a double whammy. So he died between 56 and 58. This is out of a Michigan newspaper, March of 2012. 111-year-old woman, this lady here in the picture, she's doing needlepoint. She works in her garden every day, oldest person in Michigan. And they asked her, what do you do to live to be 111? She says, well, I keep working. She works in the garden every day. And she says, I don't go to doctors. I thought that was great. Now, this is my favorite obituary because it tells everything. George Francis was the oldest man in America back in 2008. Dies at 112. He's illiterate. A swamp rat, lives out in the swamps of Louisiana. Totally illiterate. That's his daughter in the picture reading the newspaper to him because he can't read. He just looks at pretty pictures. Right? And he had just lived on a little subsistence farm, living on crawfish and fried catfish and you know, sweet potatoes and garlic and stuff, eating like a Cajun. And the interesting thing about this obituary, the first paragraph said he lived through 19 U.S. presidents whose average lifespan was 75. U.S. presidents have at least one university degree, many of them because their lawyers have 2 and 3 university degrees. He didn't even have kindergarten. George Francis didn't even have kindergarten. Now, the medical doctors who care for U.S. presidents have at least one, actually they have 2 university degrees, many of them have 3 and 4 because of their specialties, and their average lifespan is 56, half his age. He didn't even have kindergarten. I want to know what George knew. Why did he live to be 112? And all these knowledgeable people who know everything die at 56. How do you know they know everything? Because they tell you so before they die. Okay. Now, when they asked his daughter, when George died, they asked his daughter, what did your daddy do to live to be 112? And she said, well, he broke all the rules of healthy eating. Who came up with all the rules of healthy eating? Medical doctors who died 56. He broke all the rules of healthy eating with a diet heavy on dairy, eggs, and lard sandwiches. Anybody know what lard is, L-A-R-D? It's pig fat! You see, this oil thing is just in the last 60 years. 60 years ago, nobody used oil in cooking or in salad dressings or anything like that. That's all relatively new. We threw the baby out with the bathwater after thousands and thousands and thousands of years of learning how to cook with cream and butter and lard and chicken fat and all that kind of stuff. And because we're so clever, we went to oils. Bam, we're dead! Because it's cooking with oils, using even cold pressed oils at room temperature in the refrigerator that inflame your arteries and cause clogged arteries and stroke and heart attacks. Oils kill. Sure got quiet in here again. I can always tell that deer in the headlight look. You want to kill yourself? Cooking extra, 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 extra virgin olive oil. Cooking coconut oil. Take a tablespoon of it twice a day, you'll kill yourself. It'll be a long, painful death. You want to kill yourself, just shoot yourself in the head. Get it over with quick. At least be merciful. Now, the longest lived person I believe is the actual age is this gal here from Indonesia. And she's actually 159 now. 2 years ago, she's 157. She's still alive. She was born in 1853. And we know this from her birth certificate and her baptismal records from her church in Indonesia. It's a Dutch Reformed church in Indonesia. Now, I guarantee you, she has not yet reached her genetic potential. Very few people reach their genetic potential for longevity. That's why my wife and I, because of 88 million baby boomers between Canada and the United States, are coming up with all these diseases, and we have to save as many people as we can. Linus Pauling had two unshared Nobel Prizes. He died at 93, began taking mixing bowls full of vitamins and minerals when he was 20 years old because his passion was nutrition. He never got a Nobel Prize for his interest in vitamin C, but he got his first Nobel Prize for doing research into the nutrition of enzymes, the nutrition of genes, and the nutrition of chromosomes. And while he was receiving his first Nobel Prize, he said, "You can trace every sickness, every disease, and every ailment to a mineral deficiency, because even genes will not work without mineral cofactors. You can take the perfect genes from a 2,000-year-old person, put them in a bucket of saline, say, genes, make me a person who's going to live to be 2,000. Them genes ain't doing nothing, because they need raw materials. Just like a factory, you can have the most modern factory with robots and computers. If there's no labor in there, and there's no utilities, there's no energy going in there, and there's no raw material or parts going in there, can that factory make anything? The answer is no. The same thing with your genes, which are just a blueprint. If you don't have the raw materials like nutrients as substrates for the genes to make something, you're doomed." Okay? So he was quite correct. You can trace every sickness, every disease, and every ailment to a mineral deficiency. Obesity is a disease of deficiency. It is not a disease of excess. That's why, between Canada and the United States, we are the number one obese continent on Earth. Okay? It's because we've mistakenly thought of it as a disease of excess. It's actually a disease of deficiency. Despite diets, machines on TV, more people belonging to fitness centers, everybody running and jogging and walking, everybody eating fat-free foods, everybody at least has a grain belly. I remember the old term beer belly? Well, beer is just liquid bread. And so you give up the beer and you eat more whole bread, more whole grain bread, you get a grain belly. You know, I've lost 50 pounds, but I still have this belly. How do I get rid of this belly fat? Don't eat grain. Grain kills. Grain is not an essential nutrient. Carbohydrates and sugars are not essential nutrients. The only essential nutrients are minerals, vitamins, amino acids, and fatty acids. You can make all the carbohydrates and sugar you need from fats and proteins. Therefore, they cannot be essential nutrients because you can make them, and there's no disease you get if you don't get them. They're not essential. 70% of our kids in Canada and the United States are overweight, 40% are obese, not from too much screen time, not from lack of exercise, but from lack of minerals. It shows up in weird ways. Here's a little Natalie Hayhurst, Terre Haute, Indiana. She's 3 years old. She eats light bulbs. Thank God there's no calories in light bulbs. Because she has the same problem that a pregnant woman has. The embryo steals minerals from the mother faster than she's taken them in. She has cravings. And she gains, what does she call it, baby fat? And 25 years later, she hasn't taken any minerals, so she still hasn't lost that 25 pounds of baby fat. If she's had five kids, that's 125 pounds she gained. So one of the books we came up with is called Hell's Kitchen. Tells you why you must give up grains if you want to lose the weight and be healthy. How do you fatten cattle? You give them whole grains. How do you fatten people? You give them whole grains. You eat whole grains, you're dead. But they say, well, who are they? Better ask them again quickly, because they're 55 years old, 11 months old. Okay, Loyola University Medical School in Chicago, exercise won't cure obesity. That was January 2009. Time magazine, August of 2009, the myth about exercise, it won't make you lose weight. You take the 90 essential nutrients, you throw in some extra minerals, the weight goes away almost overnight. It's amazing. How many have heard of Alzheimer's disease? Alzheimer's disease is a physician-caused disease. It did not occur 40 years ago by any other name, even by another name. what is Alzheimer's disease? Alzheimer's disease is a going away of the myelin, the white matter of the brain, the naked nerve fibers tangle up, and you get a short circuiting, and that's what is a short version of what causes Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease is caused by physicians because the white matter of the brain, the myelin in the brain, the insulation material of the brain makes up 75% of your brain weight, and it's 100% cholesterol. So you go on a cholesterol-restricted diet, you take cholesterol-lowering drugs, bam, you have Alzheimer's disease. It's a physician-caused disease. Statin drugs, over time, give you Alzheimer's disease. Why isn't Alzheimer's tidal wave feared? Because there's 88 million baby boomers coming along between the United States and Canada. Alzheimer's on a relentless upward trajectory. Numbers look particularly grim for baby boomers because they followed the doctor's advice, ate more whole grains, gave up fat, and took statin drugs to lower cholesterol. Bam! They have Alzheimer's disease. You're going to see more of this. A mother and son share the bonds of love and Alzheimer's disease in the same doctor who lowered their cholesterol. This guy was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease by 5 neurological clinics, including the university medical school there in Greensboro, North Carolina. He'd had it for like 8 years, getting worse and worse and worse. They told his family to put him in a hospice. They refused to do it. I told him what to do, including 10 eggs a day to rebuild the myelin in his brain because he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. In 1 week's time, he was cured. Because he did not have Alzheimer's disease, he had what's called Korsakoff syndrome. Of course, he got the 90 essential nutrients. He got extra stuff, including what we call de-stress capsules. He has the secret sauce for getting rid of Korsakoff syndrome. 1 week's time. He went to the best neurological clinics in North Carolina, went to the medical school, had the head of the Department of Neurology give him a personal exam, and he said, yeah, he needs to go into a rehab center. He's done. Put him in a hospice. 1 week, he's cured on supplements and 10 eggs a day. Parkinson's disease, the same way. I'm very famous in Moose Jaw, Canada, out west, because it took a very wealthy man who has terminal Parkinson's disease, and in 3 months' time, he was cured, wasn't he, Char? With diet and supplement program and 15 eggs a day. He was a big fellow, kind of like John size. He was terminal Parkinson's disease, and in 3 months' time, he's perfectly cured. He brought his insurance company with him because they thought I'd hypnotize him into thinking he was cured. That's how dumb they are. He's not really cured. He just thinks he's cured because all the doctors examined him said he doesn't have Parkinson's disease anymore. Okay, arthritis is a simple disease to get rid of. Do not get surgery. Give me 90 days. I will regrow cartilage. I will regrow the disc in between your vertebrae. Doctors will say it's impossible. You need our surgery. And what I want you to tell your doctor when they say you need surgery, that there's no way you can rebuild cartilage, what you want to do is get right in their face where you can kind of spit on them a little bit when you talk. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I want you to think of me as Donald Trump and you're the apprentice and you're fired. Okay, the last one we have time for is diabetes. It's a simple nutritional deficiency disease. We've known this for 60 years. It is not genetic in any way, shape, or form. You take the supplement program appropriate for your body weight, and within 2 to 14 days, you're off your medication, you go back to normal life. Char, have you ever seen that happen? More than once?
Yeah.
You ever seen people who are on the foot amputation list get off the foot amputation list?
Yes.
You ever see people who, I mean, were really, they've sold their property, they're going to move in with their family because they know they've got months to live with terrible diabetes after 25 years? And how did he exit the stage?
Jumped off
a 4-foot stage, and he was supposed to have his feet amputated 3 months earlier. He's running around showing everybody, I got my feet. Of course, the doctors died. Why is it an epidemic? That's because all the baby boomers are following the advice of the doctors. God bless you. We love you, Canadians.